You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast. And here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking. Super Bowl's over, so that means it's draft time. It's time to get into the draft. And I released my rankings a little bit ago on Twitter a while back, actually, probably about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago at this point. But I have updated them since. But I thought there's nobody else I'd rather have on to talk about the quarterbacks than my guy, Mo Murphy. So, Mo, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about the draft quarterbacks, preview them before I get to go see them next Saturday in the scouting combine.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Well, First off, I appreciate you for having me on. That's what makes me the most excited about this conversation is we get to have this conversation and then you get to go back. People get to listen to this and then get to spend a weekend and you get to self-evaluate how right or wrong you might have been tonight. Like while recording this, you get to evaluate in person how right or wrong your feelings are about all of these quarterbacks come next weekend. So that's what I'm excited about. Like, I think this is cool. And then I get to go back and, oh, yeah, I get to call you out and be like, yeah, you was right there. Like, I can't wait to
I know people say the combine doesn't matter, but I'll give you an example as to why the combine matters. If you remember a couple of years ago, the Sam Howell draft, I had Kenny Pickett as the number one quarterback at one point. And then I watched him throw in the Senior Bowl practice. It was raining. I remember watching the ball and be like, man, I think the arm's weak. I'm not so sure that's an NFL caliber arm. And then I saw the same thing at the combine. And while, yes, the combine, in a sense, doesn't mean anything, it does in the sense of like, oh, crap, his arm actually is not as strong as I thought it was. Or, you know, in Anthony Richardson's case, if he misses guys wide open with underwear and shorts on, you're like, oh, maybe he's even less accurate than we thought. So that's where that can kind of come in and make a difference where other people think maybe it doesn't.
I think the combine matters. Like, and it probably hurts you more than it helps you. Like, do you walk away thinking any different about Caleb Williams if he shines at the combine? Probably not. But if he's less than impressive, he looks bad, he has a bad day, like, you know, that hurts him. Especially if one of the Drake May or Jaden Daniels has a great day. Like, these are the number two and three guys on most people's boards. Whoever you have two, whoever you have three, we'll get into that. But, I mean, outside of that, like, it could help a Jaden Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Some people question his arm strength a little bit, so he might be able to show that off or show what people thought about him, you know, remains understood. So I think it could more hurt you than help you, but I think you got to participate. Like, I say that, but I don't say that while saying I don't think quarterbacks should participate, because I think it says a lot if you don't. Like, if you're not there, and, like, it's Caleb Williams is there. So, like, my thing is nobody else that's healthy has any reason not to be at the combine when the projected number one pick, and that goes for any year, the top guy. Yeah. If Trevor Lawrence there, you can't not be there. You know what I'm saying? Like it's whoever you have. When Joe Burrow's there, like, if Joe Burrow's there, you can't not be there. Like, we know he's the projected number one pick, but you can't not show up when this guy's the cream of the crop. So, you know, I don't think that people should sit it, but I do think it probably hurts more players than it helps. But we've seen it help some guys that, like, you know, Zach Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson looked amazing. Yeah. Shorts and a shirt, you know what I'm saying, throwing the ball. But, you know, you saw, like, he couldn't really play. Like, I mean, jury's out. I don't know if the jury's out on him or if they've made a decision that he's an absolute bust. But to me right now, like, he wasn't worth it.
He's an absolute bust, in my opinion.
But he impressed everybody that one day. That one back foot throw 70 yards down the field was like, he went number two. So it does help people. Like, it's not pointless. Guys get drafted higher or lower based off the combine. So it's not a pointless routine.
1,000%. Let's take a look at this, at our rankings. I usually do eight because what I like to say is most draft classes in the first 3 days, or I guess the whole draft is 3 days, but at least in the first three rounds, in most draft classes, there will be about eight guys that go. I mean, you're usually going to get about three or four in the first, two in the second, and then maybe two in the third or one in the third, however. So that's why I usually like to do eight. Once we get into nine and 10, we're talking about sixth or seventh round guys. Like, sure, there's the Brock Purdy or whatever, but like, you don't get those every year. So we're going to, I did my top eight. You did your top eight. I'll run through each of the rankings and then we'll break down the players. For my top eight, I have Caleb Williams one, Drake May two. I have Jaden Daniels three, Bo Nix four, JJ McCarthy five, Michael Penix Jr. at six, Michael Pratt at seven, and Spencer Rattler at eight. And you had CW. I almost said CW. Caleb Williams at one, Jaden Daniels at five, at two, Drake May at three, Michael Penix Jr. at four, Bo Nix at five. You had Rattler at six, McCarthy at seven. Interesting thought there. And then eight, you had Michael Pratt. So let's focus on, we'll start with the number one guy. There's not much we can talk, we want to hit on. I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with saying he's got the third highest grade I've ever given out. All right. For a quarterback, he's got the third highest grade. So
Who's
what
one
I'm
and
about to say, huh?
who's one and two?
One is Trevor Lawrence with a 96. I have a 94 for Joe Burrow, and he's got a 93. But right, high coming out. This is coming out the highest graded I've ever given out was Trevor Lawrence. But the only concerns I really have with this guy, and it's not, again, this is nothing major because again, I think he's top three. I've only been doing this since 2018, but I think he's top three out of the guys I've seen. The only problems I have are at times he creates his own pressure. And what I mean by that is there are easy throws that he should hit, and he either doesn't see them. I go back, I'll use the Washington game, for example. There's a hitch route that he has, and then a crossing route over the top. He hit that in the Notre Dame game. He hit the hitch. He saw it quick, hit it. But then in the Washington game, the hitch was there. He didn't see it. He was trying to hold on for the deep crosser, which is wide open. And had he just stepped up into the pocket, he could have made the throw. And instead, he created his own pressure by flowing out and wound up throwing an incompletion when he had two routes that were kind of open. Those are some things that kind of I look at and I say he's not the perfect prospect, but no prospect's perfect. But those are really some of the things. And then I go back to the Notre Dame game because that's kind of his worst game that he's had. And I think a lot of it was he's trying to play too much of hero ball. And that happens when you feel like you got to score 40 every game to win. I mean, that's what happens. There's not a lot there, but those are some things I think if, and all those are coachable. It's not like it's a throwing motion that's going to take forever to fix, or it's not like it's accuracy that history's shown you isn't necessarily fixable all that well. These are coachable things.
Yeah, I mean, having Joe Burrow rated higher than Caleb Williams coming out of college is crazy. But I'm gonna let you live on that. But I'm sorry, it's just no way you watch both of them in college and don't think Caleb Williams is clearly a better quarterback coming out. He's a better prospect. I would have higher aspirations if I get Caleb Williams. The only thing that's sticky right now with Caleb Williams, it realistically, bro, is the Bears got the number one pick. Let's be honest. There's a few teams that are right in that area. Like if the Commanders had the number one pick, I think everybody jumps on the hill and tells you how great they really think Caleb Williams is going to be. But you don't want to jump out on the limb on a guy like this when you know it's the Bears. They've never had a quarterback. If they are taking Caleb Williams, like watch how the discourse changes if the Bears trade that number one pick. Everything changes now. Because you just don't see a route of success in Chicago, but you do with other teams. And
It's
now
also
I'm like, yo, this dude is set up to be what I think he could be. Everybody's a little more reserved now because it's Chicago. And so they let it cloud. Like you pointing out what you didn't like on film, you see that on film. That's not, but you let it cloud really. Like you're pointing that out to not fully commit to be like, bro, Caleb Williams might be the best prospect since 2018 that I've ever seen. It might not be close, But you're afraid because if he goes to Bears and he sucks, it comes back to bite you in the butt. I get it. So you're
no, being. I think he's.
It's cool though. I respect it because he's the number. He's the best quarterback in the draft. So at the end of the day, I respect.
Yes, he's the best quarterback in this draft, and I think. I don't disagree with people who say he's the greatest that they've seen since Trevor Lawrence. I was higher on Joe Burrow than a lot of people were when they came out, which is why I gave him the 94.
Yeah, you definitely grade. Was higher than because I was a 2 over Joe guy.
Yeah, so. I was a lot higher on Joe when he came out. Listen, I think this guy. There's people like Rick Spielman say that he. Caleb Williams is the best prospect since Andrew Luck. I don't know if I go that far back. He's damn good.
Why
and
is
I think,
Andrew Luck the pinnacle though?
Because I Why think
is, yeah, actually I've been wanting to ask you that. And since we're talking quarterbacks, why is he the pinnacle?
Because for a lot of guys, you ask the Todd McShays, you ask the Mel Kuypers, you ask the guys who do this on the TV. A lot of them will say the highest graded prospect they have ever given out in the 30 something years or 20 something years they've been doing it was Andrew Luck at the quarterback position.
So let me ask you this.
He is there. Like I gave Lawrence a 96. In a sense, that's their Lawrence. Like,
so what you give
the
Andrew
highest
Luck?
Graded quarterback.
What are you giving Andrew Luck? You didn't grade him when he came out, right? But you're older now, you're wiser,
yeah.
And you understand what you are now watching. When you've gone back and watched Andrew Luck, you understand him more now as a Colt since you've started doing this. Like, you understand more. So even understanding it, okay, you didn't get to evaluate him live, but you watched him play, and now you're wiser and you're now an analyst. What are you giving Andrew Luck? Is Andrew Luck over Trevor Lawrence, in your opinion?
It's debatable, but it's right there. He's probably...
If he is, that's cool. I'm just trying to figure out, because
he's
the
in the
pinnacle.
Mix for me. He's in the mix for me with the top three guys that I mentioned.
Like, to me, there's so many other, like since Andrew Luck, me, and I think I'm a little more friendly when evaluating quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I do respect what you've done in college, and I don't think everybody's going to be a superstar. But yeah. I mean, if you were successful in college, I don't pick you apart. Like, if you were great in college and you're going to be a top five pick, I'm not going to label you're going to be a bust or this or that. If you didn't earn that, you know, if J.J. McCarthy go top five, I think we're having a different conversation. But because he didn't show it. Like, you didn't see flashes of it. You didn't see enough. But, like, if Jaden Daniels goes number three, you're like, okay. You know, and then you evaluate him. And, like, you might go out and be like, he's going to be a complete bust. You might. I don't typically do that with players. So, but, like, since Andrew Luck, like, bro, there to me, in my opinion, there's four or five quarterbacks I've seen since he played college that are better than he was in college.
I just think to answer your question,
pinnacle. What is it that he had coming out of college that made him the pinnacle of this is what I want in a quarterback? And I'm not bringing up the race thing because I don't think he's just been the pinnacle. And I'm like, there's four or five guys I probably could go down list, and I'd say they had better college careers and they were better college quarterbacks. Now, your rebuttal to that is he was at Stanford. This guy was at Ohio State. This guy was at Clemson. I get that. But still, like, when they produce the way they produce, you're like, they haven't surpassed as maybe they're the pinnacle. But because even NFL success, like, Andrew Luck had success, but he retired early. And at the end of the day, like, he's not a flat-out Hall of Famer. He's not a hands-down Hall of Famer. So, like, he's become the pinnacle, but then, like, it hasn't translated into the type of NFL success. Like, now the pinnacle is Patrick Mahomes. Which is why Caleb Williams is number one, which is why we love Caleb Williams, because the pinnacle is Patrick Mahomes. Because he wasn't drafted number one, but since he's been drafted, that prototypical quarterback now got more guys are scrambling. Even your 6'6" white quarterbacks that you thought were perfect in the pocket can now make some plays with their legs. And so that's the prototype. You're chasing the next Patrick Mahomes. And so Caleb Williams, that's going to be his comparison. The Mahomes Rodgers type, but like, with Luck, like, it doesn't seem to me like everybody was searching for their Andrew Luck, but then, like, you and, like, everybody else that really, really, really evaluates his quarterback, like, that's the pinnacle. So I was just wondering why he's the pinnacle.
He's not the pinnacle for me because, again, I try not to go back because I wasn't there. Who knows what I would have given him in 2012.
It's him and Lawrence.
Huh?
It's him and Lawrence for you.
It's him, Lawrence, Williams, and Burrow. Like, I don't know where I would have graded him.
So one question before we move on. Where was Fields rated in all this? Coming out of college, where did you have him?
So in the last however many drafts we've had. In the Lawrence draft, we had I had two guys graded in the 90s. It was Lawrence and Fields. Mm-hmm. In the Burrow draft, I only have one guy. That was Burrow. Mm-hmm. Who was last year? Last year, it was Stroud was the only guy I had in the 90s. Obviously, the Sam Howell draft, I didn't have anybody. Justin is a 90.
You didn't even friendly give somebody a 90 in that Pickett draft?
No.
So friendly, no. I'm going to do it so I'm not too harsh.
No, I gave Kenny Pickett. I gave Sam Howell 81. He was my highest rated quarterback.
You were right. That's on that one. You was right.
Justin Fields is a 90. He's
okay. So he in the mix. He just down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's respectable.
This class has two. This class has three 90s in my or three people in the 90s in my opinion, which is now the highest I've ever given out.
Now we talking. Yeah. Now we in that two or three range. So you got Drake May as what?
92, and I've got Jaden Daniels tied with Justin Fields at 90.
So let me ask you, we're on Jaden Daniels and Drake May.
Yeah, because you have him at two. I have.
Yes. Yes. Why May over JD5?
So for me, and I know this is a bit different for you. For me, I think there's a little bit of a gap, not a huge gap, but a little bit of a gap between Williams and May and then there being Jaden Daniels. And the reason I say that is for me, May and Williams make all those Patrick Mahomes level throws. And so does Daniels, just not at the same level, in my opinion. Now, where Daniels has them beat is he's elite running the football.
Like he's way more athletic than both of them.
Yes. Yeah, he's elite running the football. So that's where he's got them beat. I just think as a thrower, he's, and again, this is nitpicking. I mean, this is a guy who's going to go top three all time. Top three in the draft, not top three all time, but top three in the draft. He's like I said, I have him in the 90s. I'm very high on Jaden Daniels. I think he's a tick behind the other two when it comes to throwing the football, which at the end of the day, just as great as, you know, we've seen guys like Jalen Hurts be, you have to win throwing the football. He couldn't get it done necessarily versus the Chiefs. We haven't seen Lamar necessarily beat the Chiefs throwing the football. So in the playoffs, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to Jaden. I just think he's a tick behind the other two.
So let me ask you this. Did Lamar not prove that Lamar Jackson style of football can win games by losing to Kansas City?
Like, no, I don't think. I think
away from that game. You walked away from that game wondering, why in the hell did the Ravens throw the ball so much? Why did they try and prove that Lamar can beat the Chiefs by throwing the ball so damn much instead of playing their regular style of football? Had they have done that, I think maybe we get a different result. Lamar plays in the Super Bowl, not Mahomes. So with Jaden Daniels, like, people are afraid, like, I don't know if he can just beat you throwing, but, like, that's not his game. His game is to beat you from three or four different ways, and I can do them at good, high enough levels to compete against the high of the high. And so it's like when we evaluate these guys, here's the thing, and we do it, I know it's with black quarterbacks because they're fast, but it has nothing to do with them being black. They're just the most athletic ones. But what we do is because you'd be like, not you, but people would be afraid to be too high on Jaden Daniels because what if in his first 5 years he's a superstar and then he fades out after that? You're afraid to buy into him like Cam Newton. What if he does in his first 5 years, he wins an MVP, wins a couple playoff games, and really has success. His legs get taken away from him. Like, not taken away, but he has a bad knee injury. He's not the same. He's not as elusive. And so now he can't beat everybody in the pocket. You took a part of his game. So that's why everybody's so, because they're like, he's probably a knee injury away from maybe not even being a good quarterback. And I don't want to put that ceiling on.
Yeah. But this is something
I'm not as.
This is a conversation me
too friendly.
This is a conversation me and you have had. I've also had it with Jeff when I do the NFL rankings, which is that doesn't scare me as much because I do think, because we've seen it, right? Like Michael Vick with the Falcons couldn't complete 56% of the passes if you begged him to. The Michael Vick with the Eagles was a much better passer of the football, still could beat you with his legs.
Michael Vick with the Eagles went to Andy Reid. We do got to remember that, though.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, like, I got
blessed.
Lamar had, and I said this coming out, and we've had this conversation, and you did agree with me, and Jeff has too. At some point, Lamar will have to take that leap, because at some point, like you said, your legs do go, whether it's just you getting older, you're a tick slower. I'm not worried about that with Jaden, because I think Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, right now, passer-wise, maybe not throwing-wise, there's a difference, passer-wise is a better passer of the football coming out than Lamar was.
I want to see what Jaden Daniels looks like at the combine when you are not throwing to two first-round wide receivers. Now, I say that while having Jaden Daniels number two, because I think he's going to come on the positive side of that. I want to see it. I'm already pre-planning that he does look good in the combine, so I'm valid of, but I do need to see him throw the ball to somebody other than Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Now, I know he threw it to other weapons on his team, but you had two potential first-round picks that are coming out in the same draft. You might have played on an offense with three first-round picks on one offense coming out in the same draft. So I just, you know, how do you look throwing the ball to Roman Wilson? Not that Roman Wilson is so much farther, but he probably not going first round. He's a good wide receiver at Michigan. He probably goes middle of the draft. So, like, what does it look like when you're throwing to him? And he's been impressed.
Or the kid from Florida.
Exactly. Like, so what does it look like when you're not throwing to these superstar wide receivers consistently? But I think he comes out on the better side of that. And that's why I would take him over Drake May. And I'm going to be honest. Like, I know, like, Jaden Daniels was half a defense away from possibly not just winning the Heisman, but realistically, bro, winning a national championship. And I know that's crazy to say, but like when quarterbacks win national championships, you look at them different. Joe Burrow had that monster year, won the Heisman, had the greatest quarterback season we ever win, capped it off with a national championship. He went from a fifth round draft grade by a lot of people and climbed all the way up to be, he is the unanimous, he's going number one. So like, if Jaden Daniels had half a defense, he has, I think, close those accolades as well. He at least makes the playoffs, probably plays in the SEC championship. Like, so he has these accolades to really make you pay attention in those big moments. And when he has those big games and those big moments, you know he could do it and you feel comfortable. I think not having a defense, he was robbed of that. But, like, I think this dude is just a playmaker. And, like, the way he takes contact scares you. You can't do that.
He is slender a little bit.
Yeah, like, and you can't do that in the NFL. Ask Anthony Richardson. Like, just talk to him immediately. You know what I'm saying?
And he's a big body.
That's a big dude. But, like, you cannot absorb those hits like you did in college. So, I think if Jaden Daniels, he shows that in the leap, man, I think this dude could be. And, I mean, this guy might go to the Falcons or something. Like, he could end up Washington. I think he'd be nice at number two. I think he dropped to the Falcons, or the Falcons move up to get him because May goes number two. Like, now you're talking about he has weapons too. So, a couple of these rookies outside of Caleb Williams might walk into May situations that for the first couple of years, bro, like, Drake May might be a better pro than Caleb Williams the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And he might walk into ready-made situations. I think two and three might both start off as possible better pros than Caleb Williams, because there's a couple situations in the top five that's not that bad.
I agree. And let's go outside the top three guys for us, because we had the same three, just different orders.
Yeah, but we had the same basis. You can flip one and I'll move May. I don't care.
Four's when it gets interesting, because you have Michael Penix at four. I have Bo Nix at four. And we talked about this kind of, you know, a little bit this morning when you sent me your rankings. Personally, I'm higher on Michael Penix Jr. And in my head, he's probably four or five. I know I have him at six. I worry about the injuries, because the offensive line that he may go to in the NFL is not going to be as good as it was for the last 2 years at Washington. So that worries me a little bit. I worry about his short to intermediate game as well. Best deep ball thrower in this league and or in this draft. And in my opinion, I think the thing that translates the most is he throws the ball with leverage. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if he's throwing the ball to the end zone, he puts the ball between the out of bounds, or he puts his player in between the ball
and the defender.
And the defender, which means it has no chance of being intercepted. It's either going to fall incomplete or it's going to land in his player's hands, which NFL teams love, and you've got to have success to do. So his game does translate. The injury is the only thing holding me back here, because we saw it in Michigan. He got hit a little bit, and he started to come up a little, you know, there was maybe some questions as to whether he was a little bit hurt or not.
Yeah, I mean, bro, listen, I think it's just like, bro, putting Michael Penix at four is safe. He's been, man, he was better than Bo Nix this past year. Like, you know, he arguably could have won the Heisman as well. Like I said, you know, mano a mano, he outplayed Bo Nix at the end of the day. That matters. Like, I've seen y'all play on big stages, too. They was like game of the week, you know what I'm saying, when they played in the regular season. Yeah. He played solo by yourself on a Friday night in the Pac-12 championship. Lights are bright. Playoffs on the line, like conference championship on the line when it matters, and you've outplayed them and look great doing it. So that's why I would go in those moments. This was an Oregon team that people were saying was arguably, ever since that Washington loss, was the best team in the country. So, like, I've seen him in those moments play great. Like, he played good in the Texas game. Like, at the end of the day, Texas was just a better team. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. I think and it goes back to that Texas game like last year. Like, that jump started the Texas game last year in the Alamo Bowl. Jump started like Michael Penix being a real pro. That was an exciting game, by the way. But
yes, it was.
Like, that's where. So from that Texas game, like, on, man, he's looked good, and he's really looked better than anybody across from him. And that's a lot to say in the Pac-12. Didn't play USC, but other than that, it was quarterback. You know, that was the quarterback conference in the country. They went 10 deep at quality starting quarterbacks, and he outplayed every single one that he lined up against. So that's why I'm high on Penix. I get the age thing. I do understand that. And what sucks for Penix is I think he would be the perfect guy, because I don't think he's better than the top three, that he goes to that good team. Like, hypothetically, just for an example, he goes to Dallas. Let's say Dallas don't want to pay Dak $60 million a year, so they keep him through next year, and they're like, you're going to play for your contract kind of thing. We'll see what type. Well, then you draft Michael Penix. You have him sit. He sits a whole year. You have no plans on him playing unless Dak goes down. And even still, you probably don't have plans on him playing then. And then he's ready made for a team with a bunch of winners, and he's ready to go and has his experience in the NFL. That's the type of situation. Difference is he's going to be like, he might not make his first start till he's like 25, about to turn 26.
Yeah.
That's how, you know what I'm saying?
My dream spot for him, and a lot of this depends on whether they re-sign their current quarterback or not, is Minnesota. Because if you – Justin Jefferson said he'll only re-sign if they have a plan at quarterback, whether that be Kirk Cousins or they present him a valuable plan at quarterback. And I think you could possibly, especially when you say, hey, just all you have to do, JJ, is run deep and this guy will hit you. I think there's something to talk. I think he would be electric in that offense with those weapons and those types of things, and with that coach there. For me, Bo Nix, because I have him at four. Trust me, I'm saving the J.J. McCarthy conversation, because that's going to be the longest one we have. What I like about Bo, just like I said with Penix, there's parts of his game that translate. He's got that quick release. He's got a quick throwing motion. He gets it out quick. I think a place like Denver, playing for Sean Payton, where he gets the ball out of his hand really quick, would be a great place for him. I think he's got a high football IQ, those types of things. I think he's a better deep ball thrower than he's given credit for, much like a guy who also played at Oregon, who's now in the league, Justin Herbert. The question about Herbert when Herbert came out was, well, he threw a bunch of screens. Well, like, that was just the offense he played in. It's the same thing with Bo Nix. He didn't get the chance to play in an offense like Penix did. He doesn't get the chance to play in an offense kind of like what Jaden Daniels did. They do throw kind of quicker short routes, those types of things. I think he's got a better arm than people give him credit for. So those are some things I like a little bit better. I don't have the injury history with him that you have with Michael Penix, which is the only thing I think that kind of worries me the most, because I've seen it at times where guys go healthy for years back to my boy Andrew Luck. He gets healthy. He has a wrist injury at Stanford, healthy for years, goes number one overall, and then can't stay healthy in the NFL. Those are some things that that worry me about a guy like Michael Penix, especially with it being your knees and your shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, with Bo Nix, like, man, I'm out on him, man. He looked bad in the Senior Bowl. I'm out. Like, I'm out on Bo Nix, man. He's been in it, man. He wasn't that good at Auburn. Like, he goes to Oregon. He shined this year, but, like, you may not be in a situation where you're throwing to Troy Franklin or set up for that offense, or you're just more talented. You might not play on an offense that's just flat out more talented than everybody on the opposite side of the ball. And that's with every quarterback. So that's where you break them down. Like, what do I think you're going to do when you get presented that other situation? Like, because we're like, if everything's fine and dandy, then, man, all these dudes can play. If we put all of them in the perfect situation, every last one of them can play. I'm not questioning that Bo Nix can't play football. And if there's a perfect scenario, if everybody had a perfect team to go to, then we're not even having a conversation because we're like, well, if it's the perfect scenario, then yes, they're going to be successful for their perfect situation. I don't think Bo Nix may go. I like the Denver. I do like Denver. Now, you know, that you say that, I'm like, okay. If that happens.
He fits that offense more than Russ does. Because Russ was never a get the ball in my hand quick guy. He was a let me create all that. And you saw that kind of boil over with Sean Payton, where he's like, Russ, just get rid of it. And those types of things. And I'll have more of that breakdown when I do the quarterback rankings later on in the year. But, yeah, I like him in Denver.
If he goes to Denver, like, I'll be like, you know what? That might be, like, I think that's one of those, hey, he might have went to the perfect situation. So, because, like, he can play. Like, I don't think Bo Nix can't play football. I mean, for a guy who probably won't go to the perfect situation, like, now, you
he's
haven't.
He's got to prove it to you. It's essentially what you're
saying.
Yeah, because
you haven't played in, I mean, you played in a perfect situation, but you did what? Like, you ran into Michael Penix and them boys and lost twice. Like, that was your season. And that was your high point electric season. Like, you had multiple opportunities to basically win this Heisman this year. Early on in the season against Washington, and then later on in the season again against Washington Pac-12 championship. Didn't necessarily show up, didn't triumph in those moments. So it's like, and then I've seen you play against some SEC defenses, which is the closest you're going to get to an NFL defense anyway, which is why, like, Stroud does what he does against Georgia and, like, boom, he goes number two. And there were some people within the Panthers that wanted him a number one, like, because they knew he could play, but he validated against an SEC defense. So, like, you never impressed me while you were in the SEC. You were good last year. You were exciting. Like, you were in the Heisman conversation. But, I mean, everything was perfect for you. And I don't think you're going to turn around and everything be perfect for you next year or for the next 3 to 4 years. And so I think he'll succeed in that situation. Like, in Chicago, he absolutely sucks.
Well, most people will suck.
I think Penix might be decent in Chicago, though. Like, I think he could figure out a way to have a decent career.
Yeah.
He could even be Teddy Bridgewater or Tyrod Taylor. Like, they had decent careers. They did enough to be like, yeah, that guy could play football. He wasn't the greatest, but I think he could have that guy could play football conversation about Penix in Chicago.
14 touchdowns a year is not bad for Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
that was his high point.
You would have your moments, like, but more like Tyrod Taylor. Like,
I'll give you Tyrod.
Backup, he could play foot. Like, we know he can play. He'll win you some games as a starter. He won't win you no championship. He's more of a backup. But if your starter goes down, you know you can still win some games and be competitive. Like, to me, that's a decent career. Like, if that's my career as a quarterback, I get paid millions of dollars to play here and there, while you here and there, be impressive, get talked about in a positive light, and then go back to the bench and go hide for a little bit.
Hey, I'm with you.
I don't think Bo Nix could do that.
Let's talk about a guy who I also think will spend the majority of his career on the bench. Your favorite player in college football plays for your favorite. I'm just kidding. Mo's an Ohio State fan, so it's a joke. J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback at Michigan, is a polarizing prospect in this draft because some people think he's top three. Some people think, like us, don't buy into the hype. We had this chat in the group chat. I said this in the group chat, and I stand by this. I think J.J. has a 10- or 15-year career as a backup. I don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback. Now, why do I think that? I think he has – one, I think he's smart. I think he makes good enough decisions to be a backup. what I was impressed with that I saw versus Ohio State and that I saw turning on some of the tape was I think he's very, very good with ball placement. And as a backup, you've got to be good at ball placement. And that he's not super special at anything. He does do the arm angles. He is athletic. He is a good runner. But I think the ball placement thing is what will extend his career and what coaches will say is very, very good at. That's what Jake Browning's good at. That's what, you know, you see some of the backups that we've seen this year. And let's be honest. Some like we saw this year, Mo, sometimes you need a good backup to get yourself in the playoffs. Ask Cleveland.
You always need a good backup. Sometimes. You always need a good backup. Ask Dallas last year with Cooper. Yeah. Ask Cleveland. Ask anybody who lost.
Ask Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew.
Cincinnati could have had probably a top five pick. Instead, they were like battling to the end for a playoff spot. Now, I know they didn't make it, so you're like, oh, point not proven. But I'll be like, okay, well, ask Cleveland. Joe Flacco takes them there. Ask Dallas last year. Like, Cooper Rush goes, you know what I'm saying, 5-1 in 6 weeks without Dak. Like, you don't go to the playoffs and be set up and win your division or not win your division, but you don't be set up that way without a good backup quarterback. So that's why another thing is I think you need to start, not you, people, GMs,
you need to start
evaluating who could be a high-quality backup. Why can't
this
you?
This is something me and you have been preaching
as a high-quality backup. Just look at him as a high-quality backup, and then that means now you take him in maybe the third round, rightfully so.
That's
and
where I have him.
I might be on your roster for the next 10 years, possibly. He's going to have
– I do not –
So I don't just I don't get it. Like
I only have three quarterbacks with a first round grade in this draft. Only three. Now I think there will be more that go in the first round, but I have a first round grade on only three guys. So everyone else,
I'm the same way. Like I'm with you. Same three.
So everyone else is a second rounder or later, and that's safe with some of the question marks that you have. JJ just. I don't get it, man. I don't get the hype. And maybe I'm losing. But there are times they took the ball out of his hands to beat Penn State.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, here's my thing. He was crazy talented coming out of high school, bro. He was a five-star quarterback. So, like, he had to be. And I ain't really see much of his high school tape. I'm going to be honest. He ain't come to Ohio State, so I don't really care. Just being honest, like you didn't like, I'm not evaluating high school quarterbacks like that. I know who the stars are. I pay attention to them, but either way, like if he still has that talent in there, my thing is, man, I don't know. Like I know Michigan won a national championship without unleashing him, but there's moments like, man, you never unleashed him and put it. He put his foot on Ohio State's neck. Like you never even showcased his talent in them situations. Like the one time you let him throw a deep pass was when you knew what the defense was calling. So the tight end was butt naked open 30 yards down the field and you just threw a lob. Like you, Chris Paul lobbed it to Blake Griffin and he just had to finish the rest. So like, I just have a hard time really believing that you believe that he's one of the most talented quarterbacks you've ever seen. Like when you're Harbaugh pitching for him and you never showcased it. And you're like this quarterback guy. So, but like you won the old school way of like two running backs, an elite offensive line, ground and pound, a defense, a tenacious team. And I know that's like a hardball style team, but like you've unleashed your quarterback at times. Like you made Colin Kaepernick who Colin Kaepernick was. You had Alex Smith. Like, so you did unleash your quarterback and let us see those moments. I never really saw it. At the same time, the difference is I don't watch Michigan versus Maryland. So, like, I seen it in the Maryland game. Like, I didn't even see that because I'm not watching Michigan versus Maryland. So, I've seen enough of J.J. McCarthy, though. I haven't dug so deep to fall in love with him on film, but I've seen enough of him. I've seen enough Michigan. It ain't even just the Ohio State games. I've watched enough Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State. I've seen probably 15 games of his to question what everybody's trying to find around him. Like, yeah, that's in question. And I could be the most wrong about J.J. McCarthy, and that's fine. I'll wear that on my sleeve. Like, just keep digging the L's. Like, you win a national championship, and you're a way better prospect than I thought. Like, just kick me while I'm down. That's cool. But, like, I'll go on that hill, and it has nothing to do with him being at Michigan. It's the system that was ran in place. Like, you don't run a system like that with a quarterback that you're pitching to me you had on your roster. Like, that's my thing. If he was that guy that you said he was, you don't run your offense like that.
We're in the same boat. Like, this has been a guy that when people were talking about him being potentially the third best quarterback in this draft class, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Cause I was I literally, the first time I heard that, I went and watched 2 hours worth of film. And I'm not kidding, because that's about the only film work I've done on JJ McCarthy. Everything else I've moved on from and done the rest of the draft working on wide receivers right now. But I dug it because I wanted to see, like, what is everybody seeing? And I still didn't see it. I didn't see it, Mo.
Did he change your mind in person? Are you walking into watching his workout open-minded this weekend, this next weekend?
If his arm's bigger than I think it is, that I'm not saying, oh, that will put me over the edge, because I've been the guy who says a big arm isn't everything, because we've seen those before. But I don't think he does. My point is, like, I don't think he does anything special. So if he comes out here and corks at 60 yards, which I don't know if he will, like, I may be like, okay, he's got a special arm.
If he looks like how Harbaugh is pitching him, if he looks, and I know you don't, I know you try not to weigh too much on what they look like in shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
Everybody is telling you how talented this kid is, right?
Yeah.
If he looks that part, and he lives up to the hype in that workout that you get to witness in person, like up close and personal, can he change your mind? Because I think he can. I think very well be on the JJ McCarthy train come this week. I don't think he'll do that great, but I'm saying, yeah, I think if he does, I very well could easily see, like, you are on the McCarthy train after next weekend. I could see.
I'm open for my mind changing. I don't think he's going to enter the top three, in my opinion. And I don't think he enters the first round for a grade for me. But what I'm saying is, like, with any of these guys, there's not the one guy. Like, last year, I was very hard on Anthony Richardson. Funny enough, he winds up going to the Colts. But the point being, like, there's not that one guy where I'm like, I just don't see this work. Like, all these guys that we've talked about so far, there are parts of their game where if you came back, you told me 5 years from now, hey, it works, I'm not going to be like, I didn't see that coming. I'd be like, well, there's parts of their game that, yeah, it does work and it does translate. So I'm open for my mind changing. I don't think he does, like you said, but I'm open to it. I'm open to not necessarily be on the train, but to be like, okay, he's better than I thought.
Yeah. Cop yourself out, Stu. Don't come hollering at me about no JJ McCarthy when he does look amazing on field and I'm sitting here watching it on NFL Network and you just tweeting me, telling me what it looks like live. No. Don't cop yourself out. Oh, he's going to be better than I. Nope. You're going to be on that train if he look impressive. If everybody buy into the hype, you're going to be right there with him. Play it safe. You got to.
We'll see. I didn't play it.
The hype of the next guy, you say. Just wait till I see what I got to say about the next guy.
I didn't play it safe with Malik Willis at all, but
I'm not playing it safe with this next guy we about to talk
me
about.
Me either. Let's talk about him, because for me, I've had an up and down relationship with this guy, because if you go back to the Sam Howell draft and you go back to the preseason of that college football season, it was the last year that Spencer Rattler was at Oklahoma, and I had him and Sam Howell as QB1 and 2, and they switched up and down throughout the year, and then he gets hurt, he doesn't play well, Caleb Williams steps in, whatever, moves on, he goes to South Carolina. I think he has potential here to be a guy who blows everybody out of the water. I really, really do. He's a wild card to me, because this, I know I'm talking about a guy who I say is not a first-round prospect as a boom or bust caliber guy, but for me, like, this guy has all the talent, Spencer Rattler does, to, in my opinion, rival that of guys like maybe a Patrick Mahomes, or at least a Jordan Love, when we're talking about sidearm throws, making these crazy wild throws that we talk about with Caleb Williams. He can do all of it. He can do it all. My only question about it is some of the decision-making, the interceptions. I'll say this, what really won me over on Spencer Rattler was I watched an interview that he did. I can't remember if it was Dan Patrick or what. He was very retrospective heading into the Super Bowl. And this showed a guy who matured from the QB1 Beyond the Lights guy. This is a guy who showed he has matured since his time in Oklahoma. This is a guy who's very humble, and I love that about him. If he's able to mature here, no doubt in my mind, this guy can be a superstar at the NFL level if he goes to the right place.
I'm going to go out on the limb and say it. This dude is going to be the second best quarterback in this draft.
Okay.
Now, who's number one? I don't know. Whoever out of the top five guys are the most successful, that'll be the best quarterback in this draft. Whoever out of the top five guys, that'll probably be number one. Whoever isn't one of those guys, none of them will be better than Spencer Rattler. None
He's
of
good.
Them.
He's good.
He has the talent. He's going to go to a good situation.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. He is. I don't think he's going in the first round. So now you're talking about a team who pretty much at that point when they take him, they have a starter in place. So you don't have to play right away. They got you take a quarterback anywhere after the first round, you got a starter in place. We don't have to have a plan for you right now, but we're not going to pass up on this talent and this potential. We can stash you and figure out what to do with you later over time, a la Jordan Love. Like, and now look at the trajectory of the Packers for the next 10 years and look how good Jordan, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think he could be that type of situation. I think we're down in this part of the draft where a guy like this does go to that kind of situation. A guy like this does go to, I don't know, listen, who's almost up. Like,
I'm telling you, I'm
like
telling
this
you,
does go to San Francisco. Like, hey, we need a backup quarterback outside of Brock
Purdy.
I
don't think he'll go. That's where I thought. I don't think he'll go to San Francisco because I think if he gets in there and he starts throwing the football, they're going to be like, yeah, well, he actually is better than Brock Purdy.
But
I'll tell you where.
You're safe, though, but you're safe enough. Brock Purdy's good enough.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl that you're safe enough that even if you see that in practice, a lot of people won't see that behind closed doors and they'll have their sources and nobody will 100% buy that. And at some point, something.
It'd be the Chiefs all over again.
And Brock Purdy could go down or something could happen. And in those 2 to 3 games, this guy was able to showcase his talent and show that he's as elite as we thought he would be coming out of high school. And now, like, okay, we can't hide it anymore, but it's the same like with Mahomes. Like, Mahomes got that one game played. Oh, man, this dude might be pretty good. And then, like, they already planned on moving on with him anyway because Alex Smith failed in the playoffs. So, like, I think Rattler.
And there were reports then, like you were saying, there were reports then that Andy Reid and everybody was like, during practice, they'd look at people and be like, have you seen what this guy's doing? Like,
yeah, they would look at
so
people.
So it's the same like, thing could be with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, like, dog, we're sitting here going with the worst quarterback. And I don't mean worst by any means disrespect to Alex Smith. He was good. But, like, we're sitting here starting the vet who's not as good because we're afraid to tell the world because you're seeing it in practice, too. It's got to translate into the games. And if you make that decision because of what you've seen in practice and doesn't translate in games, like, maybe you get a little flash of Jordan Love, where Jordan Love looked really good in preseason. He looked really, really good in preseason. So, like, if he could show you that kind of flash, you know that it's there in game situations. Now, it's not there against the upper echelon of the league, but it's there in game situations. And if I get enough time, I can really play. I think San Francisco would be cool for that. I think, I don't know, but because you also wouldn't take them in the first round. So you're not paying, you still have two cheap quarterbacks on there. It's an insurance policy. You could guarantee that to the fan base. Maybe
I'd love to see him in Dallas too.
No, we got Trey Lance. So I don't see us moving off Trey Lance to get Spencer Rattler. Like, I feel like even still to this day, like, I don't think Trey Lance is the answer. But yeah. I don't think we trade for him last year, like just this season, and then draft Spencer Rattler in the summer and immediately move off of the whole reason why we say we traded for Trey Lance. That's my only thing. I laugh at it too, but.
What about the Jets? He plays in a similar style of Aaron Rodgers and
I think he'd be perfect for the Jets because as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you know he'll sit for as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing, you know he won't be.
Yeah.
And so you project that probably maybe another two. At first, you probably would have said another 2 to 3 years last year. Now you're like 2, 3 if he's lucky. Like, so that lines you up with the Jordan Love situation, but this time we're not trying to replace you. We're drafting your replacement, hopefully, but this is a we are riding with you till the wheels fall off, and hopefully this guy can take over for you. So now it's more of a he's at that age now. You could take a quarterback and it'd be okay in the second or third round because you're like, bro, you're at that age. We're grooming. We want you to help groom your replacement. And this kind of guy, I think, yeah, I think that would be perfect too. And you know, they got some young weapons over there. Got Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. I'm sure they would draft another weapon at some point. Like they have a team that he could also grow with. So the Jets would make sense. San Francisco would make sense, but I don't know if that move comes without controversy. It's still eyebrows. Who else would be perfect? Dallas, but it raises
eyebrows. Honestly,
traded for Trey Lance.
Honestly, Cleveland. But I know they got DTR a couple of, like last year, but it kind of depends on how you feel about DTR. But Cleveland could be a spot too, especially with
he'll be gone by the time Cleveland would entertain taking him though. Like, because they won't entertain that until the end of the third round. Like, because you have this team that made the playoffs, and you think with Deshaun Watson, you got to feel like if Deshaun is better than Joe Flacco, you got to feel like you can win a Super Bowl with this talent. So you're going to put you going to get the young guys that can help you day one first before you worry about who's going to back up Deshaun Watson. You just went and got Joe Flacco off the street.
Yeah.
You probably can call him again, or there's the Jimmy G's or Jacoby Brissett's that'll be available. Like
as long as it's not within the first two games for Jimmy G.
The PEDs, but you have a viable option.
He takes PEDs, but still can't throw a football.
Yeah, still
very
sucks.
Well,
so. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
should have won a Super Bowl. Then we could talk.
All right, I think we. For me, Michael Pratt. I think he's kind of in that same boat as JJ McCarthy. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is a guy that you draft if you want a viable backup.
You want me to tell you though? There's a Brock Purdy in this draft.
Yeah.
There's a Brock Purdy in this draft. And it's Michael Pratt. It's that boy, Austin Reed from Western Kentucky.
Oh, he's good. I watched him play live at IU.
He is the Brock Purdy. And I'm not saying that he's going to come in and take a team to a Super Bowl. But what I mean is this dude's going to fall in the draft. And then when he gets his opportunity, you're going to be like, yo, this dude was in the fifth, sixth round. This guy can play. He won't be the Mr. Irrelevant last pick of the draft, I doubt. But he's gonna be far enough back there where you're like, yo, this dude can play football. It's gonna be like the little bit of flashes you saw when Bailey Zappe first played, former Western Kentucky quarterback. It's gonna be them similar flashes. The difference is he's probably gonna be in a more stable environment than a Bill Belichick ran Patriots team with no talent out there. So I think he's the Brock Purdy. Like, just to shed some light on a guy that we weren't going to mention tonight, I think Austin Reed has an opportunity to be the Brock Purdy where, value-wise, you might find your starting quarterback, even if he just turns out he's good enough that he can start for you the rest of his rookie contract, and then a star quarterback becomes available and you move on because you haven't won a Super Bowl or whatever it may be. Like, I think he could be that guy as well.
Yeah, like I said, I watched him play last year when they played Indiana, went to that game. He can rip it, and he's good with it. I think he's really good with the ball placement and doing what he wants to do with it. Mo, thank you, man. I love this. Yep. I love talking quarterbacks. I love talking the draft. I love this show. I love having you on. Just in case there's any worry, don't worry. Your boy Marvin Harrison Jr. will be the number one wide receiver on my board when that comes out. By the time you hear this, the rankings will have already been out. Or maybe they'll be coming out, depending on when you hear this. But the question becomes, where's Marvin Harrison on my top 50 big board? That's later on in the year. But before we go, Mo, let people know where they can find you, what you're working on, all that good jazz.
You can follow me at Mo_Cheese15 on Twitter, Up in Flames Pod on Instagram. And I got another episode coming out talking more NBA this week. I'm going to record this weekend, and then we're going to get that out. Just got back, getting really back into talking ball. I'll be so focused on football season. Like, it's everything football for me. I love football. So, been watching basketball, paying attention, so I ain't jump out the gate not knowing what I'm talking about. But, full-blown everything basketball content from here on out and draft stuff. So, yeah, appreciate you for having me. I'm sure this won't be the last time, and I'm sure you'll be on Up in Flames soon talking. One of your rankings is going to piss me off, so. Something gonna hurt me. You gonna hurt me somewhere, and I'm like, yep, you gotta come on Up in Flames and explain yourself because I'm mad.
All right, we'll do anytime at any point. And for me, I have should have another interview coming up later this week, so make sure you hear that. Another football coach coming on the show, kind of talk the game, talk about sports, talk about football, and kind of get the X's and O's. So make sure you guys tune in for that one, because I'm doing it mainly to be selfish as a learning process as a young football coach growing in this game, but I'm also doing it to try to help, you know, educate the guys who maybe don't know football that well, who want to learn. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Hey, like, share, do all the jazz you got to do. Everything that I say, you know, share it in the DMs, email it to your boss, email it to their work. I don't care. Whatever you got to do, help the show grow. Do it. Have a good day, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You have a good one. I'll see you next week.